It's an election year. Do you dive right in or do you avoid every conversation about politics? We'll get some sound advice from someone who's seen it all. Hi, I'm Stuart Shepard, and this is First Liberty Live. You know, these episodes are also available as an audio podcast. Just search for First Liberty Live on whatever platform you like to listen to podcasts on, and you'll find it there. You can listen in your car, on the treadmill, or wherever. Bunny Pounds is founder and president of Christians Engaged. Hi, Bunny.
Hi, Stuart. So great to be with you.
I'm glad you're here, because I wanted to talk to you, because on this topic, you're about as expert as it gets, because just a little bit of your background. You've been a campaign manager. You've been a political consultant. You've served representatives in the U.S. Congress. You even ran for office yourself, lost, sadly, but you did make the run for it. And you also decided to write a book about your experiences, which I've got right here, which is called, provocatively enough, Jesus and Politics, which makes a lot of people go, oh, which is why I wanted to talk to you.
The two things you're not supposed to talk about around your kitchen table with family and friends, right?
It will get you at your own little special table at the family gathering. Let's talk about this, though. We've both been in this space for a long time, and we both heard people say, oh, you know, you can't mix faith with politics, but you say you can't actually do politics correctly without faith. Tell me what that's all about.
Correct. You know, everything in our life, Stuart, should be sacred. We sometimes have these dichotomies built up in our minds where, you know, these things are sacred, going to church, participating with our family meals, whatever, those are sacred. But the things that we do in culture, going to businesses, going to schools, working in politics and government, those things, I don't know. Specifically politics, because we think of it, as I say in my subtitle, One Woman's Walk with God in a Mudslinging Profession. We yeah. think of it as a mudslinging profession.
Because it is.
It is in a lot of ways, yeah. But there are good people that are serving, and absolutely, it might not be as mudslinging if we had more good people participating, right? So number one, every Christian in America should be praying for our elected officials. We see that written out in scripture. The Apostle Paul tells us to pray for those in authority over us that we may lead a peaceful life.
Yeah.
We should be all voting. Thank God we don't live in North Korea or Venezuela or Cuba. We have the incredible freedom to elect our representatives, to love our neighbors well by electing righteous people. So we all should be voting in every election. And then engagement, we should all get outside the walls of the church, Stuart, and impact our world. And that's what we're calling the church to do.
Our voices really need to be heard when it comes to all these things and the decisions about our country. You ran for a seat as a U.S. representative and made it through the primary process. What life lessons did you learn from that experience of running for office?
Well, I laugh and say you haven't lived till you've had a $1.2 million spent against you and your family. It's a whole another level of understanding suffering.
With negative campaigns.
Yeah. We had a very competitive Republican runoff, and it was pretty brutal for both of myself and my former opponent, Congressman Lance Gooden. But, you know, what you learn through those experiences is anything that you do in life that's worth doing is hard, frankly. It taught me a lot of life lessons, a lot of leadership lessons. I learned how to fail, which, you know, I hadn't failed, frankly, on anything, at least in the national eye before. Yeah. That was a big deal. But also how to overcome, you know, offenses, bitterness, and unforgiveness. We all have things that hit our heart. For me, that was a pretty brutal battle. It was war. And so it took me a good year and a half to come to the place where I could forgive people that put me down, people that spent advertising against me, things that were said against myself and my family unjustly. And you have to deal with that in your heart, and you have to be bigger people and walk through that as a Christ follower.
Let's unpack that a bit, because you talk about in the book how your opponent in that runoff ran some really seriously negative ads. And like so many political ads, this is how the game is played. It starts with a nugget of truth, but then makes an assertion that really isn't a fair description of who you are, what you stand for, where you are in the political realm. After all that, you saw that he was short of cash after he won office, and you held a fundraiser for the guy that beat you. Tell me about that.
Well, I couldn't overcome some of the things that were going into my soul. I was trying to share the gospel. I was trying to get back to work. But there was just, you know, when you have unforgiveness against people, it really holds you captive. And I felt like I was in captivity, right? And so I discovered that he had $50,000 left of his runoff debt that he hadn't paid off. Hmm. I ended my campaign with zero debt. And so it felt unjust that he had floated some invoices, or his consultants had floated some invoices, which is a legal thing. But in my heart, it felt unjust. So I saw that he still had some things that he needed to pay for, and I had lunch with him and said, "Sir, I would like to have a fundraiser and help you pay off the rest of this debt."
And then you picked him up off the floor. Because who does that? I mean, seriously.
It was, you know, it's sometimes a political nicety for people to endorse or to participate in putting a name on a host committee, but you don't see a lot of times in politics, I haven't ever seen an opponent actually host a fundraiser and make the calls and actually raise the money, which is what we attempted to do, and we did it. It was great for my whole team, my whole campaign manager, consultant, the incumbent member of Congress that supported me. All of us went to that and laid down our bitterness and walked out free people. It was beautiful.
Awesome. That all, and we talked about the negative ads that were run against you. How do we, as consumers of media, whether it's social media, television, radio, whatever, we're going to hear these ads nonstop for the rest of this year. How do we filter through that? How do we find truth in the midst of all that noise?
Well, I really encourage Christians, number one, look for two or three or four sources. When you're looking for a story, don't just take what an ad says. Do your own research. Go to the news. You know, even though news sometimes can be slanted, you're going to see good journalism if you see two or three references of the same story.
Yeah.
As Christ followers, we need to be influencers. We need to be the people that people trust. So don't put something on your social media feed that you can't verify. You know, a lot of times it's clickbait, right? We're just trying to get stuff out. Also, look at how they cite things on a mail piece or a TV ad or radio ad. By law, they're supposed to cite where their sources came from for that attack.
Okay.
So look at the fine print and see when you look at the fine print that it doesn't match the actual attack. For example, when I was running for Congress, they called me in an ads. I was a never Trumper. Okay. Number one, I was not a never Trumper. I had an Instagram post where I had held up a Trump Pence bumper sticker. And I said, like every American, many Americans, I have gone from Walker to Rubio to Cruz to Trump. Vote Trump, right? And so they made that assumption, like I wasn't a never Trumper. I was just saying he was my fourth choice in the 2016 primary, right? So I'm just giving that as an example that that's how people make those crazy attacks and call you names, sometimes not related to the actual thing that was happening.
And in ingesting news and news reports about this, that you also talk about in the book how it's easy to get overwhelmed with the 24/7 cable news coverage of every little nuance, every little thing. And you talk about how you were in the midst of that, but then you decided, I've got to do this differently. Describe what you did to change that up.
Yeah, when you're in political consulting or anything, or a lot of Christians, they get really involved in the news, right? They love to watch Fox nonstop, or they're reading stuff constantly. Well, it's really hard when you're filling your soul with all that stuff constantly to hear from the Lord. And so I made a choice after I came back from Romania from a mission trip. You know what? I'm going to try to cut out a little bit of the noise in my life. So I got on email subscriptions for The Hill and Fox News and different places so I could still get the news and see what was happening on Capitol Hill. But I didn't constantly have my TV on or talk radio on. And I just put on worship music and decided, you know what, I'm going to spend time in prayer. And I'm telling you, Stuart, I was a different person, literally overnight. And I never wanted to go back because there's something about meditation on the word. There's something about spending time with the Lord. And there's something about just cutting out some of the constant voices that we hear in our culture that it's just constant, and the only way we can hear from the Lord is to quiet our souls.
And you talk about the importance, and you've mentioned this already, of regular, honest prayer, transparent prayer with God as we go through this, both for those who are running for office and those of us who are making decisions about for whom to vote, including people we disagree with.
Yes, that's a challenge.
How do we do that effectively?
Well, first of all, look at the command of Scripture. The Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Timothy 3 to pray for all those who are in authority, all kings and all those who are in authority. Yeah. Nowhere does that say if they have an R or a D behind their name, right? So, and think about that scripture a little bit. That was in a hostile world. The Romans were not very friendly to Christians in those moments, right? And he's still saying, pray for your kings and all those who are in authority over you, that you may lead a peaceful life. This is good and pleasing to God. So it pleases the Lord when we pray for our leaders. But yes, we have to realize that God is big enough to touch people's hearts, whether we agree with them or not. And sometimes I think we minimize prayer. We don't really see the extensive power of prayer. And so we don't think when we're praying for somebody that we disagree with that God can really change them, but he can. And I've seen in my own life just divine appointments I've had with politicians that I don't agree with on everything, but man, God's after their heart and he wants to reach their families and he wants to use them and he sees the good of what they're doing, not always the bad like we do.
I had the opportunity to become friends with Senator Tom Coburn, who's no longer with us. He died of cancer some years ago. But I heard him speak on numerous occasions about being in the Senate, but operating based on principle, so that everybody around him knew this is where he stands on these issues, and he's going to consistently do that. It's not personal. Yeah. So he could go in, and he talked about talking to people from the opposition, saying, you know, here's where I stand. I can't support your bill. I'm going to go out on the floor and rip you to shreds. So, but just know it's not personal. It's what I got to do. But he also looked for opportunities to find things that they did agree on. And when he left the Senate, because, again, terminal diagnosis with cancer, as a true fiscal conservative, I mean, he really stood for that. The most heartfelt tribute on his departure from the Senate was from none other than Chuck Schumer, leading Democrat out of New York, who gave, and I mean, you watch it, you know, he's not just giving a speech. He's actually speaking about a friend that he had because he respected Tom, the fact that he ran on principle, that he operated on principle. There's so much truth in that story.
Well, and we've lost a lot of civility in our political discourse right now, and the American people at large would love to see people have a little more civility. I don't know how we go backwards with a 24-hour news cycle and social media and all the things. You know, a lot of the elected officials and candidates are just talking for the next news clip, right? So it's extremely frustrating to the American people, but we teach Christians in our On-Ramp to Civic Engagement seminar and our classes, you can speak out on an issue, you can take on a position, but don't take on the person.
Yeah.
Because that person is an image bearer of Christ. You know, whether they know God or not, they've been created in the image of God and he is after their heart. And how does that help you build bridges to their soul or their heart if you're attacking them personally? It's not profitable. We see a lot of Christians going out on social media, attacking their elected officials, looking like angry, hurtful people. Who wants to get involved in politics and government if that's what we're looking at in the Christian world? So we need to be operating differently. I hope the book, Stuart, encourages Christians to get involved in government and politics and to do it in intimacy with Jesus, but those who are already involved to be a Christ follower and let God deal with your soul as you're engaging.
I'm on page 99. This is one section that struck me. You say voters need to do their own research to look past the lies and make careful, well thought out choices, which you've covered well here. You talk about what I call whisper campaigns, backstabbing friends, spreading rumors and false facts about someone to try to sway a race are not healthy for politics or life, but they are a common occurrence at all levels of politics. Obnoxious pride and power's lure can corrupt individuals, families, and organizations to the point of manipulating elections and buying influence. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, and you know, we are trying as believers, our hope is that when we go into a business, we're carrying wisdom and discernment into a boardroom, right? Or we tell our public educators or our teachers, go in and be Jesus in that classroom. Aren't we supposed to be different when we go into even the governmental realm? Government is ordained by God, and how much better would government be if strong people of faith that carry and spend time in the Word of God, carry the wisdom of God into those places of influence. I think we'd see a totally different discourse in our national world.
Now, I have to mention, before I let you go, you're also a client of First Liberty. Just a couple
former
of years.
Former client, Stuart.
Former client, yes. A successful former client. You were in the process of filing the nonprofit paperwork for Christians Engaged.
Yep.
And you got a rejection letter from the IRS. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we had a pretty hostile agent. He held our papers up for 18 months from the time we filed. And we got a letter from the IRS saying Bible teachings are inherently Republican, pretty much. Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party and candidates. And then they went on to say, because you're teaching on the sanctity of human life, biblical justice, debt and taxation, Israel, these things are inherently Republican. So, yeah,
Which they're not.
It's crazy, yeah. Right? Every minister and pastor in America is going, I can teach on the sanctity of life and not be Republican.
Right.
The Bible was created many, many, many years before a political party platform. So, yeah, it was a beautiful thing. I was out to lunch with my friend Lathan, who worked at First Liberty, and Kelly Shackelford and I have been friends for a long time. So I said, hey, I got this letter. Would you look at this? And it went around the office.
Because we didn't believe it. We thought someone had pranked you. I mean, the letter was so outrageously, strangely weird. For example, at the top, it had a list of words that were going to appear in the letter with little letters, a little diagram, and you had to match the letters in the text of that back to the top, and it was weird things.
It was so weird. Republican Party was D on the ledger.
Well, yeah, because that makes sense.
Right, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, all these different things that it looked really strange, and I remember Lathan calling me and going, I mean, y'all were about to file the appeal to the IRS. It was a beautiful, like, 12-page appeal. And he said, can you send me the certified letter envelope that this came in? Because we're still debating whether this is real or not. And I said, okay. So I sent the certified envelope, and it was real.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you won.
We won 21 days after we filed that appeal. Thank you, First Liberty. We're forever thankful. As a small ministry, as a small organization at that time, we're now a lot larger. But we didn't have the funds to fight that. We had 30 days to do it. My attorney told me it would be $25,000 to $30,000 to file that appeal, and we had $7,000 in the bank. And I'm forever thankful, because not only were we able to stand up for our ministry and get that tax-exempt status for our donors, but we were able to stand up really for every ministry and church in America.
You really did.
To preach the word.
It was an honor to get to walk beside you through that process, and entertaining,
yes.
as well, because of the nature of it. I want to give you a moment before we go to just tell us about the work of Christians Engaged. What are you up to?
Well, we have built a system to help every awakening Christian in the country that wants to get involved to start moving forward. We hear a lot of times, I have a burden for America, but we don't know what to do. We are your answer to help you get involved. First, taking our pledge to pray, vote, and engage. We send a prayer video, a scripture every Monday for people to pray for government. We send voting reminders, 4 texts and 4 emails around every election in the country now. We have over 200,000 Christians now praying, voting, and engaging regularly with us.
Awesome.
And then we've kind of fell into a whole new thing of developing curriculum, trying to get people engaged. So our signature product is our On-Ramp to Civic Engagement Seminar. It's 6.5 hours on everything from separation of church and state, religious liberty. First Liberty partners with us on that. And then we teach on party politics, how to get to know your elected officials, issues from a biblical perspective, all of that. But we have every kind of curriculum, from a curriculum on biblical justice, economics, local government. It's just been awesome to see over 2,000 Christians now go through our long-form classes and see them get activated.
Very good. Anything else you want to share before I let you go?
Well, I just want to say how thankful I am for First Liberty. Kelly Shackelford also serves on our advisory board for Christians Engaged. And it's just, there's only 2 ministries that we partner with day to day. One of them is our evangelism partner, Time to Revive, and First Liberty. And so to go on the road, have you guys go on the road with us, really join forces. It has just been an incredible journey, and I'm just so thankful for Kelly and you and Leah Patterson, my attorney, former attorney with First Liberty, and all of the team.
Yeah, thank she'll you, always be your attorney.
She is always my attorney.
The book is Jesus and Politics by Bunny Pounds. Bunny, thank you so much.
Appreciate you
sharing today. If you want to see America's religious heritage defended, would you join us in the work here at First Liberty Institute? Just look for the big red give button up at the top of the page, and let me say thank you in advance from all of us. First Liberty is fighting for what matters most.